your trouble and despondent, don't know which way to go, let the hand of Jesus lead you. The way to you he'll show, call his name in the midnight, call his name in the day, just Jesus, Son of the Father, will lead the way.
Sister Benton and Sister Grant, these are two running buddies.
Amen.
Yeah. When we needed someone at the community center to volunteer in twos, they did it for a year or two. And I want to publicly thank Sister Grant and Sister Bilton for their work. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Lord our God, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
To bring joy to the world. We thank you, our God, that he came while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Bless now the preach word. We pray, our God, that you would use this your servant like never before.
Yes.
Honor me and your people with the rich truths of life, that what is said and what is done remind us of the joy that comes in knowing Jesus Christ. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said, amen.
Amen.
And those who were not afraid shouted, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our text today comes to us from the book of James, chapter 1, and we will share verse 1 through verse 6 of the book of James. This is said to be the brother of Jesus Christ writing these words to us. Some say that it is James, the disciple of Jesus, but it matters not who wrote it, it is what they said. Listen, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbridled not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waveth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, neighbor, do you know how to get the most out of life's toughest times? James writes to us to assure us that we can get the most out of life's toughest times. Can I ask you a question? Do you know what time it is? When we know what time it is, we think that we know by looking at our watches, and each watch may have a different time. For instance, my time on this Timex watch says that it is 12:10. How many of you have 12:10? I'm the only one with 12:10. Maybe I live in the fast lane. How many of you have 12:05? All right, on the computer got 12:05. How many of you think that that's the same time that Jesus has? We live and watch our clocks on chronos, which means time, human time, that is set aside by us to do different things. But our timing is not Christ's timing. Christ comes when he chooses to come. He blesses those whom he chooses to bless. I have three things that I want to share with you about getting the most out of life's toughest times. Sometimes are not as tough as others. Sometimes an easy time. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. It helps us to understand that there are times set aside, even on the watch of God, that says a time to love and a time to hate. To get the most out of life's toughest times, you have to dig your faith well deep. dig your faith well deep. Some of us lived in the country. You don't have to say amen to that. Some of us lived in the country, and in living in the country, we had wells that we dug. Is that right? They were dug by our hands or by machinery. And guess what? The deeper the well, the more the water. The deeper our faith, the more the blessing. If you had a well that was too shallow, if you had a fire, you may lose your house or your farm or ranch, your farm bond, because when time came, your water ran out or your well ran dry. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, dig your faith well deep so that when trouble comes, you are able to handle the trouble. You're able to handle unexpected situations. Life is filled with ups and downs. Life is filled with the vicissitudes of life, up and down. But can I help you here? If your well has been dug deep, you'll be able to stand the storms, the fires, and the winds when they come. Hebrews 11 and 6 says that, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who honestly seek him. Can I help somebody here today by telling you that when you have faith in God, you need to make sure that your faith is deep, so that when sickness comes or death comes, you'll be able to stand in times when life is not so easy. No matter what happens in your life, your mission is to keep the faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11 and 1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you have a deep well, if your well is dug deep, you'll be able to say like Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. That's Paul's testimony as he gets ready to go to Nero's chopping block. He knows that his head will be saved from his body, but he goes knowing that I've kept the faith. How many of us, when we're going through storms, when death comes creeping in the room and our loved one dies, our strong supporter, our encourager, the one that we've spent life with for 30, 40, 50 years, no longer is breathing among us. We sometimes feel like giving up, but can I help you? Don't give up. Reach down into your well and draw from it your faith in God. If you draw from it your faith in God, you too will be able to say, I have kept the faith. Faith is what God gives to us that we may be able to walk with him and to talk with him and to know that we are his own. And so I say to you that we live by faith and not by sight. It's easy to live by faith when your faith is not tested. But when your faith is tested, like Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, when you have to give up your best, when you have to offer up to God a sacrifice that calls for your name no longer to live among the people. Can I help you here? You need to be like Abraham and say to the Isaacs of this world that my God will provide. I need to ask you a question. How many of you have been tested and know that God will provide? How many of you have had storms to come in your life Your loved one has gone on to glory and your job has diminished and you don't know what to do. Can I help you here? Just continue to live on God and to say, I live by faith, not faith that I can see, not faith that tells me that things can get worse. But I live by faith, knowing that God works for my very good. It's easy to live by faith when things are not going well, rough. It's easy to live by faith when things are going well. But when storms come, you really need faith. A faith tested comes to everyone, and it struggles with each one of us. Even the disciples who saw Jesus do many miracles, their faith was tested, and they came up short. They had seen Jesus feed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They had seen Jesus make a lame man walk. They had seen Jesus who had taken a man that was 38 years paralyzed. But what when Jesus said to him, "In faith, if you believe, take up your bed and walk." The Bible says that he took up his bed and walked the streets. And as he's walking the streets, it's a Sabbath day. And he's going to give thanks to God in the church house. And somebody asked him, "What are you doing carrying your bed on a Sunday?" Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "You don't know what I've been through." That's why when the Lord calls on me to make a move and to be a living testimony for him, I don't care what day of the week is, I'm going to tell somebody about the grace and the love of God. Made demons jump from a man into pigs. They had seen him give sight to a man that was born blind. They had seen Jesus walk to water, but when personal things came in their life, they fell short in their faith. When personal trials faced these disciples, they said to the master, "In the midst of the storm, master, carest thou not that we perish?" Can I tell somebody something here? God always cares for us. When we're going through a storm, he's with us in the storm. When the sun is shining brightly, he's with us, and we feel the warmth of his presence in the warmth of the sun because he is with us always. And so I say to you, if you want to get the most out of life, if you want to get the most out of life, toughest times, dig your well deep. Secondly, prioritize your priorities. Accept that you will never be able to please everyone. How many of you like to please everyone? I know I like to try to please as many people as I can. But I learned at Second Baptist, you can't please everybody. Oh, y'all ought to say amen to that. Try to please the deacons and trustees get mad. Try to please the presbytery trustees and the deacons get mad. Try to please the musicians and the choir get mad. Everybody, you can't please everybody. And so I've learned to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. We need to accept the fact that you can't please everybody. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then one needs to learn, if you want to get through the hard times, you need to learn how to connect. Prioritize your time by living life to the fullest requires connecting in every situation. Connecting to other people who can help you. People who can help you become the person you want to become. There are people in our path that they are not in our path to do us any good. They're in our path to do evil. Evil is always present. When you tell folk your dream, when you tell folk your vision, they listen and then they go away to seek to undo what God is doing in your life. But can I help you here? what God has for you is for you. What God has for me is for me. And so we need to prioritize our time, and we need to prioritize our priorities by connecting with people who can help us. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible said she had had an issue of blood for 12 years. For 12 years, blood was falling from her body. And she had to walk around according to the Levitic law, saying unholy. Unholy, blood was coming from your body. You had to declare yourself unholy. She was to declare herself unholy. And because she declared herself unholy, that meant that she could not go to the sanctuary of God and give praise to God publicly. That meant that in her family, she had to separate herself from family members. But can I help you here by saying, when the world turns against you, just remember you can connect with God. You can connect with Jesus Christ. The record is that she'd heard about Jesus, and she'd heard about this man called Jesus, who had given sight to the blind and made the lame to walk. And Josephus said that she asked a question, said, who can help me? And somebody told her about Jesus. We're here today because somebody told us about Jesus. We're here today because we've learned that the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. We're here today because we know that Jesus is the light of the world. We're here today because we know that Jesus is the one that gives us light and gives us joy in the moments of sorrow. He is the one. Is there anybody here that know that Jesus is the one? He is the Word of God. He is the Word of God that became flesh and now dwells even among us. And so the Bible says that she said, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I shall be made whole. And the Bible says that Jesus, when she touched him, said, who touched me? And the Bible says that the woman came before him, bowed and said, it was I that touched you. Listen to what he says. He says to her, it was not your money. You spent all the money that you had trying to get well. It was not your money. It was not your influence, but it was a faith. Your faith has made you whole. Ken, is there anybody here that didn't have the money to purchase salvation? And salvation cannot be purchased with money because Christ Jesus has already died and paid the price. He paid it all while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. So she goes away rejoicing because her sin and because her body had been made whole. He touched me and made me whole, the songwriter writes. Thirdly, pray like there is no tomorrow. James 5:16 says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God always sends miracles to answer our prayer. God is not limited in how he answers our prayer. You remember Paul and Silas, they're in prison not because they had committed any crime, but because they had preached Christ and they had preached the resurrection of Christ. They had gone about doing good by lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they are placed in prison. But while in prison, they made good use of their time. For the Bible said that at midnight, they cried unto God. At midnight, the darkest time, the time between yesterday and tomorrow. At midnight, they cried unto God. Don't know the hymns that they sang, but I thank God for the old hymns of the church. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. I like the old hymns of the church, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Is there anybody here that enjoy the old hymns of the church? Is your all on the altar? Is there anybody here that know that Jesus
paid it all. They sing hymns. I don't know what they sing, but I do know that they lift up their voice in praise to God. For you see, when praises go up, guess what? Blessings come down. If you don't think that blessings come down, ask our forefathers, and they'll tell you we were shackled by slavery, but we called on God, and God heard our prayer. Is there anybody here that was shackled by sin and you call on God and God heard your prayer, set you free from your sin? Is there anybody in this place that you were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, seeking to rise no more? But the master of the sea heard your despairing cry, up from the waters lifted you. Now safe am I. When nothing else could help, oh yeah, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. They sang songs and they prayed. Don't know the prayer that they prayed, but I heard my grandmother praying one day, and she said, Lord, it's Mary again, and I come with knee bowed and mighty bent and hard and lonesome valley. Don't know anything but you. And she prayed and God answered her prayer. Can I tell you why I know God answered her prayer? Because I am who I am. Because she prayed for me. Is there anybody here that somebody prayed for you? And because they prayed for you, you now can sing Zion songs and talk to God in prayer. They prayed, and the Bible said that God heard their prayer, sent an earthquake, and the earth shook the prison. I can think in my sanctified imagination how the earthquake came and went straight to that prison, shook the ground, and shook it so hard until the locks fell off. And when the locks fell off, Paul and Silas could have walked free, but they stayed there. And the jailer, thank God for the jailer. The jailer knew that his life was in peril, that he may lose his life if the prisoners escape. And he drew his sword to take his life. And the Bible said that Paul said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. And I like what that jailer said. What must I do to be saved? Is there anybody here ever asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Can I help us by telling us God is working for our good? God is not limited in how he answers our prayers. He's working for our good. While we were yet sinners, Christ, can I say his name? Christ, Christ, Christ died for us. The Lord will fight your battle. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. Israel, the Israelites are standing by the Red Sea and they're wondering why we're out here. But I hear the man of God speaking in the words of God that says, be still, the Lord will fight your battles for you. If you want to get through on hard times, dig your well deep. If you want to get by on hard times, what you really need to do is trust God. Don't know how you feel about it, but I woke up this morning with Jesus on my mind. And there is no harm to have him on your mind. For see, he's a mind regulator and a heart fixer. Is there anybody here that knows something about the Lord Jesus Christ? If you want to get the most out of life, dig your well deep. And then after you've dug your well deep, prioritize your priorities by seeking God first. And then know that he will answer prayer. I don't know about you, but I started in Jesus a long time ago and I learned to pray. Is there anybody here that wants to know the answer to your down? Is if you pray, God will answer your prayer. God will answer your prayer. I talked to the Lord the other day and I said, Lord, I don't know how much time I got left on this earth, but one thing I do know, that my life is in your hands. Is there anybody in this place that will put your hands in God's hand? If you put your hands in God's hand, when sickness comes, you know that he's a healer. When death comes, you know that he is a resurrection in the life. When you're going through your problems, just trust God. Don't know about you, but I will trust in the Lord. Is there anybody that's willing to trust God with me? You're going through hard times. You know sickness is in your body. Trust him. Death is in the room. Trust him. Don't have a job. Trust him. Because I know the Lord will make a way somehow. Yeah, he will make a way somehow. Don't know how you feel about it, but he will make a way somehow. If you're going through hard times, just think about what happened on Calvary. How they whipped him up the hill. How they spit on him. How they nailed him to the cross. But they forgot one thing. He said, If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Thank you for the power that's in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the drawing power that's in the name of Jesus. The Bible says the two thieves were on the cross, one on the left and one on the right. I hear a conversation between the thieves. One said, if you be the Christ, come down off the cross and save yourself and save us too. But thanks be to God, he would not come down. He would not come down. He chose to die on the cross. And I tell you, he died on the cross. He didn't faint. He died. He didn't swoon. He died. And they took him and put him in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, before the break of day, early Sunday morning, thank God for the early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Not some power, but all power. Not green power, but all power. Not colored power, white power, but all power in his hand. Is there anybody here that knows something about the power of Jesus? There's power. Power in the name. In the name of Jesus. And so my brothers and sisters, don't know about you, but I'm going to dig my well deep in faith, because I'm going to need the faith to take me over the valley, to take me over the mountains and through the valley. I'm going to dig my faith well deep, for when the storm comes, when the flames come, I need well water to put out the flames. I need a praying church. I need a singing church. Yes. I need a living Christ. Thank God he lives. He lives. He lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Every day is a day of joy. Yes. James says, when you come into direst temptations, rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for we have a Christ who paid the price out on Calvary. Hallelujah. 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 Church is standing. Deacons are coming. We invite you to come. Make Second Baptist your church home. Connect with Christ today. I know he.
Thank you, Sister Brown.
And members of Second Baptist, we have with us today Mrs. Annie Brown, desiring to be a member of Second Baptist based on her Christian experience.
Sister Brown, I'm sitting next to you because you're a seasoned saint. I want to get some of that fire you got. And so we welcome you to Second Baptist. We're glad to have you. The song says, give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. You've done that. And I think your testimony can be, I was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. How thankful we are that you've come to Second Baptist. There are a lot of people here your age. And there are a lot of people here younger. Those that are your age, you can walk with them and y'all can share experiences. But folk who are younger, you can help us order our steps in the Word of God. And so that's something you can do here at this church. There's a mission for you. And that mission is to help our young ladies become ladies, seasoned saints. Help our young men to become men. You can do that for us. And you may be saying, well, I can't walk. I got a cane. Do you know how to use a telephone? You know how to call people? Yes. You do? Yes. We had a man named Brother Reed join our church. He was senior, now going on to glory. We gave him a teller and a directory of our church. And his job was to call people and wish them a happy birthday, or to just call them and encourage them. He did that for a while. God called him home. Well, guess what? God sent you to replace him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.